swaggers up to the mic, pulls open his briefcase full of hard drives, delectable digital delights, and hopefully you're going to tell us how to not blow the hell out of our PCs.
It is a little bit like that, actually.
He, during the week, made my machine 100% faster by giving me an extra 16 meg of RAM.
And how much did it cost?
Nothing!
My life is better.
Because I haven't paid for it yet.
But it would only cost, like, how much?
It's not much, it's a couple hundred dollars.
That's extra. Upgrade for any gamer.
Would you rather go out, instead of going out to dinner, you could get yourself RAM upgrade?
More RAM.
Okay, but we're not going to talk about RAM tonight.
No,
we're
going
to talk about some lessons in how not to get yourself up the creek with... What is it? With a
hard drive?
Or whatever. Yeah, with a hard drive as a paddle.
Yes.
Good evening. Edward Jones is your friendly digital doctor here, ready to lecture you once more. Now, let's have a talk about hard disks. Now, I don't know whether to call this session actually the importance of hard disk parameters, or just because it works now doesn't mean it's actually right and won't catch up with you another day, because that is the problem with computers sometimes.
Mm. Yeah, I have an analogy for hard drives just quickly on how they work and the concept of speed involved. Picture a jumbo jet at full blast, full of people travelling across the Earth's surface that was very, very mirror-like, and suddenly a mountain comes up. That is what a hard drive crash is.
It is a little bit like that, actually.
Yeah.
And people don't realise that, for example, while the hard disks are running, you shouldn't really thump, bump or move your computer. Otherwise, you can actually get a hard disk crash where the head actually grinds a little bit of a bit into the surface. Or
we're talking craters, baby.
That's right, or grinds off a bit of its nose or whatever. So, and it never quite works the same again. But the thing I actually wanted to talk to the people out there about was a problem which one of my customers has come up with, and it sort of teaches a bit of a lesson. Now, I mean, everybody knows that you can't just transplant the hard disk from one computer to another and expect it to just work. I mean, we all know that, don't we?
It's the worst.
Yeah.
Well, not so, it appears.
How do you upgrade hard drives, then? How do you upgrade hard drives, goddammit?
That's right. This is sort of what I was going to actually allude to, that's a good point, and I sort of thought everybody understood that, but no, it's not quite that straight, it seems. Not everybody does, in fact, understand it. Now, for example, we all know that the hard disks, for example, they've got certain disk parameters. They've got a certain number of head cylinders and tracks, and you need to set those parameters in your CMOS setup on your computer. Now, you'd say everybody knows that, and everybody does that. Well, everybody also knows that, for example, the hard disk is not too fast if you set the parameters to less than maybe the maximum that your hard disk can accommodate. For example, if you set up, 540 megabyte hard disk on an old computer that doesn't support the big drives, you can set them up as 528 megabytes and it'll be perfectly happy. It'll give you 528 megabytes and everything is fine. But then it appears that some people still believe that you can just rip out one hard disk out of a machine that might have a 500 megabyte hard disk, stick it in another machine, don't do anything, and just switch it on, and the hard disk will be just as good as it was in the other machine.
But what about the autoconfig CMOS?
The CMOS parameters. People seem to be forgetting to change them. And this is exactly the case that we've had actually recently. Let's look at this for an example, right? A customer's got a machine where he's had a 200 megabyte hard disk running, right? And everything is fine, all the software installed and everything is working. So you say, well, that's fine, I'll stick it into my other machine, maybe a hand-me-down 386 or a low-speed 486, we'll reuse that hard disk and we'll see if we can make it work. Well, you might actually find that if the drive type in the CMOS is set to something like 90 megabytes or 150 megabytes, it will actually appear to work. And you say, beauty, I got away with that one, saved myself a $60 service, and it works like a dream. And that was the point, just because it works now doesn't mean it's right. And actually, a case in point is that when your hard disk starts to fill up with these wrong parameters and you get to sort of a magic point, then things suddenly start to turn into scrambled eggs.
Oh, baby. You met my friend the other night, didn't you? My friend who bought that computer.
Oh, no.
Rainbow man. That's what? Another story later on.
Yeah, that little Adam is another story.
You have a friend who bought his computer down the drain.
Tim Connors bought a computer from the train post. And man, it's a beast.
And he poured it down the drain.
Well, it was sort of like an Olivetti, but there was really nothing Olivetti about it when you opened it up.
It had the electrical tape and it had phone in it, and it had like a 286 motherboard with a Pentium jammed in it.
And the power cut.
This is the guy that, like, dogs, like...
And the motherboard was a quarter of an inch too high. You couldn't get the keyboard connector in, and he was wondering why he was getting keyboard errors. But, I mean, you know, you can laugh, sure, but, I mean, it is pretty tragic.
So this is a topic that we should talk about a whole show, actually. Never buy computers on a train.
Well, don't say that. The training post will be ringing up.
No, you can't, but you need to qualify, Paddy. You need Edward there at $60 an hour to help you out. Anyway,
you plugged it, not me. Anyway, look, but the point is that, no, you can't just rip out a hard disk from one machine and stick it into another one. And actually, the really disturbing thing is that I believe this one particular customer who actually called me in because they had scrambled eggs all over their hard disk, it was just totally corrupted. It appears that somebody had actually transferred this 200 megabyte hard disk and stuck it into a computer which had a drive type 31, which happens to be 90 megabytes. So it sort of appeared to run okay when it was like 25, 50 megabytes full, but once it got up to about 90 megabytes or so, when you check the hard disk with check disk, it actually says, hey, I'm formatted for 200 megabytes. The disk parameters in CMOS say, hey, I'm a 90 megabyte hard disk. And the whole thing sort of fell off the edge of the planet, and that's what you've got to look out for. So it's not okay to just, you know, do these things yourself. I think when it comes to computer upgrading, a lot of people say, can't I do that myself? And you say, yeah, well, it's pretty straightforward. You know, you stick in your drive, you get the pin 1 right, you check your CMOS parameters, you put your head cylinders and all that sort of stuff right, and Bob's your uncle, you do it. And if this buds, well, don't do it at home. Actually, it ended up being quite a costly exercise because the hard disk was completely scrambled. Actually, about 80%, I think, completely scrambled. And the worst thing is, actually, then if you go to run ScanDisk on it, because, man, it really goes to town. It can't find out where its heads, blocks and sectors are because, of course, IDE hard disks as well, they work on a logical to physical sort of a lookup translation table where they look up the blocks, and if you get the heads and cylinder, head cylinder and sector parameters wrong, it really can go to town and make a mess of your hard disk.
That's because hard drives in some cases have many platters and many, many heads.
And the thing I was going to say, actually, as a special hint for people, one of the things to look out for is if you do insist on transferring your hard disk between machines, be specially careful about one thing. Don't just do an auto detect, which a lot of the motherboards have got, because the original machine that the hard disk may have come out of actually may have had the wrong parameters in there when the hard disk was initially set up, partitioned and formatted. The best thing is to go to the CMOS parameters on your old machine, write them down and put those exact parameters into the machine that you're actually transferring the hard disk into. And what I like to do, actually, just to be on the safe side, is I'm generally, on my customers' machines, I like to put a sticker on the back of the machine of every computer just to say what model hard disk it is and what the correct head cylinder and sector parameters should be.
As I was going to say, if we're sticking back saying, don't even think about opening this up here.
But I think that's the right way of doing it. When you see little things like that on computers, I think it means somebody is taking a little bit of care, and I think it's a bit of a sign of profession.
Even more reason to open up and take a go at it.
And can I leave people with a hint for the week?
Yes.
Netscape 2. I've been getting some inquiries from people who reckon that Netscape 2 can occasionally cause a network error message over dial-up lines, and I believe quite a few internet providers have been hit by this, and I'm told that if you turn off header compression in the Trumpet windsock, apparently that can get rid of it. Apparently there might be some sort of a problem with this header compression.
I'm going to try that.
Do you reckon they'd know how to turn off header compression?
In Trumpet windsock, it's pretty easy. All you do is you go into Trumpet windsock setup and you go down to header compression and you turn it off. It might be worth trying. I don't have that problem myself, but hey, that's what I've been told, and that's it from me.
What are you going to dress as the ex-ball, Steve Pollock?